All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's up?
My man, how you doing?
You know, here's what's going on.
Oh, tell me. Tell me about what is going on.
I'm living the dream. I'm throwing back to seltzers like there's no tomorrow.
My man, how much have you ever thought about getting a seltzer machine?
Do you have a seltzer thingy machine?
I do.
You do?
I do. It was a gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I used it all the time. I drank so much water because you just get your regular filtered water or whatever, and then you just fizz it up, and it makes things kind of a little bit more exciting, you know? I don't need the flavor. I don't need the sugar. Just a little bit of excitement. But you know what happens? You keep going down this road, my friend.
Yeah.
You're going to be sitting there one day, and all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh, what's going on? And the gas will hit you hard.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, here's the thing. We have a seltzer thing.
Okay.
But I've never used it. And I believe the girls have used it. But every now and then there's like a homemade bottle in the fridge that says like seltzer water. But it kind of looks like crap to me. It looks to me like gross water that's not like refreshing enough, like real seltzer, like a can of seltzer.
Do they add stuff to it?
I don't know.
Yeah, don't add anything to it. Just
I'm not drinking that shit.
Spritz up your water, my man.
I get the seltzer water that's in a can, you know, so it's satisfying. You like crack it open and it's got like a little hint of lime or raspberry or whatever.
It makes you feel ritzy.
Yeah. Right? I put my pinky out and watch all kinds of uppity movies.
No doubt. No doubt.
Probably something with subtitles.
Definitely. If it doesn't have subtitles, you're turning them on just for the experience.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I did? So at the end of the show, you're going to ask me, what am I reading and watching?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that Kayla and I are watching New Girl.
Oh.
You know that show with Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I did, because I'm 100... I referred to it the other day as the new girl. Such an ass. Cool enough to watch New Girl, but not cool enough to get the title right.
Did you get the dad look?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Come on. Look. Well, you know, that brings us right to the news.
Yes,
I gotta say, this week's show, last week we were a little light.
Woo! We're stretching.
Yeah. But this week there's a lot more going on.
Yeah, so David, I'm gonna ask you, just right now from the top of the show, try to stay focused.
You know what? I'd like to, but you keep going on and on about soda.
I don't want you to go down on one of your tangents again. You know.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's never happened before, and it probably will never happen again.
Right.
Yeah. But speaking of the dad look.
Yeah.
Like the father of the dad look of the modern age.
Right.
David Harbour.
David Harbour. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. He's got the dad bod. Everyone loves him. He's confirmed that Black Widow includes appearances from Ursa Minor, Crimson Dynamo, Sputnik, and the rest of the Winter Guard. Now, the Winter Guard are like the Russian Avengers. So,
Wow. We're
going to see a lot more than just, you know, I mean, what's his name? Hunter, whatever his name is. I can't think of his name. Whatever. The guy who mimics everybody.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
The theater, I don't know who did it. One of Jason and some of the staff. Somebody put together a big Black Widow standee in Lititz. It looks awesome. And actually, I made like a snarky comment to Bob. I said, this is called a standee. We used to get them when back when we had big movies. And I was just being a snarky punk, but the truth is, like, are we? I know I've been like on again, off again with this movie. Are we getting psyched for this? Could it be?
I think so. Like, my thing with this movie is I was always looking forward to it.
Right, me too.
It, with everything coming and being pushed, you get to a point where you're just like, I'll wait till it's here to get excited.
Kind of like believe it when you see it.
Yeah. But I fully feel, because the trailers are coming out in storm. You know, we're hearing about these movies that I didn't even realize would be filmed are all of a sudden coming out. I fully feel that, like, we're about with June, we're going to hit, like, everything's just going to be like, boom, there's going to be too much to see. We're going to go from not having things to see. And I kind of feel like it starts with Cruella, which is what, this week or next week?
Next week.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like Cruella is like just the tip of the iceberg of whatever's going to go down.
Well, and that's Cruella is next week, which is Memorial Day weekend, which is the same day as A Quiet Place Part 2.
Oh.
And I know you're hyped for Cruella, and I am too. But in terms of ticket sales, the hype that we're hearing is A Quiet Place.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think that's going to be the much more popular movie.
Yeah.
Like Cruella is the movie you go see after the week after you've seen A Quiet Place too.
I don't know.
You don't know?
They're both big, and I totally agree with you. By June, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
One week after another.
So we're excited to see more Marvel characters that we didn't even know were going to be in movies in this movie. I think that's really cool to see happening. But speaking of Marvel movies, Shang-Chi, and as well as the movie Free Guys with Ryan Reynolds, they're going to have a 45-day release period before going to video on demand, apparently. So small window, but what do you think? Better than no window?
I've said this, I think, on this show for 2 years now, even pre-COVID.
Yeah.
I've never been one for the 90-day window. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with the 90-day window. For me, I think a 45-day window is almost perfect.
Cool.
You know, I think give me a month. Yeah. Give me a month to get the audience out. Now, sometimes movies like, for example, Raya and the Last Dragon it's in its 11th week.
Wow.
You know, and Disney's still wanting me to hold it clean, which, you know, is insane. So I think if Shang-Chi, I mean, Free Guy is going to be no problem for 45 days. I think Disney's going to have to look carefully at Shang-Chi, depending on how successful it is in the theater. I think it runs a slight risk of burning Disney if they release it on video too soon.
Yeah. Well, I was a little surprised because it's a Marvel movie, and they're not doing that with Black Widow, from what I understand.
Right.
Which makes me wonder if they don't believe in it as much.
Right.
I think part of the reasoning is, and I could be wrong here, is I don't know if you saw the news this week about Shang-Chi and I think Snake Eyes are going to have problems. They're not going to be able to show them in China.
Oh, that would explain it.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, something about Shang-Chi not being the stereotypical like guy or attractive guy or something. I could be totally wrong, but this is what and I think the problem with Snake Eyes, if that is the movie that I'm thinking, or maybe it's Eternals. Yeah. I think it's Eternals. Yeah, it is. The problem with Eternals is the director has said negative things. I think she's Chinese, and she said negative things about China. China is the biggest movie market, and that's a lot to miss out on.
Right. Are you aware of the actress Maggie Q?
May Zozo's sister.
Yeah, No, there's a real actress named Maggie Q who's done like a lot of. She's like in action. She's been in like Bond movies and Mission Impossible and this kind of stuff. And she has an interesting. She's of Asian background. I'm not sure if she's Chinese or not, but she had an interesting take. She worked a lot with Jackie Chan. You know, she was trained by, you know, sort of came up his, you know, family tree, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And she had a lot of interesting things to say about trying to not only make movies, but get movies to be played in China and, you know, in Asia in general, but specifically China. So I'm not totally surprised to hear you say that. And I do think that would explain, that would totally explain why Shang-Chi would have a 45-day window and then go live, go streaming.
Yeah.
So anyway, while we're over on the Asian continent, Variety reports that Bong Joon-ho is now working on a Korean animated film about humans and deep water sea creatures.
Right. Now, silence your phone, you professional podcaster. So,
that was, just for the record, that was Mystery Gobble disturbing us in the middle of our show.
How dare he?
I know.
So, okay. So, Bong Joon-ho, he directed Parasite, which we love.
Love.
Now, what do you think of this premise? Animated film about humans and deep water sea creatures. Sounds pretty interesting, right?
Yeah, I'm on board.
Now, I got a hidden reveal here for you.
Uh-oh.
You ready for what it's really about?
Yeah.
Okay, it's about an invertebrate deep sea fish who believes he's suffering from spinal disc herniation.
Is this like a spinoff of Finding Nemo?
I don't know, but I'm like, I mean, look, this premise could probably is way better than what it sounds. But when you write it down like that, I read it, I was like, wow, I was expecting something more serious or like cool or whatever. To read this premise, I was like, huh? What?
Come again?
Sorry. What now?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be disrespectful because the dude is obviously some kind of genius. But did you see him like this dude parties pretty hard.
Oh, really?
Bong Joon-ho, he gets down, you know. And I could see him like, you know, just getting crazy in Hollywood, you know, with like a bunch of producers and be like, let's make a movie about
an invertebrate that thinks it has a herniated disc.
Right.
It doesn't even have a spine.
Right. But the funny thing is, like, I'm on board. I'll definitely go watch it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm interested. I want to see what's up. I'm keen to learn more.
So. Speaking of documentaries, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 has officially wrapped production.
Oh my gosh. The Sonic the Hedgehog 2?
Right. Is a hedgehog a real thing or is that a cartoon?
First off, hedgehogs are adorable. I'm just saying, if it was legal in Pennsylvania, I'd be like, can I get a hedgehog?
Okay.
You know, they're super, like, you got to keep them super social, but they're like the cutest little things. I mean, they got spikes all over them, so you have to be real careful, but they have like these little smiles on them. I'm just saying, but they're not fast. So.
Wait a minute. Where have you in your life come across, tell me the story of how you met a hedgehog.
I don't think that I feel like I have met a hedgehog.
Oh, so you're saying like you're just aware that it's a real thing and you've seen them like on the interwebs and stuff like that.
Yeah, but in many states you can have them as a pet, but in Pennsylvania where we're located, you cannot.
Why would you want? All right. Tangents. The news of the day is that Sonic the Hedgehog has wrapped production. In related news, Emily Blunt is denying that she has been cast as Susan the Invisible Woman, Storm Richards.
Someone's anti-hedgehog, that's all I'm saying.
No, I'm totally pro-hedgehog. I'm excited for hedgehog, but I'm trying to respect the process here.
Okay, all right.
I love the hedgehogs, and I love, even more than I love hedgehogs, is how much I love that you know about hedgehogs.
All right, so Emily Blunt's denied that she's Susan Storm, the Invisible Woman. Now, this is what she had to say. She went on record, because everyone's been saying that she's going to be Sue Storm, and John Krasinski, her real-life husband, would be Mr. Fantastic. And that seems like a pretty cool casting. She says, that is fan casting. No one has received a phone call. That's just people saying, wouldn't it be great? She goes on to say, I love Iron Man. And when I got offered Black Widow, because she was offered Black Widow back when Iron Man 2 was coming out, she says, I was obsessed with Iron Man. I wanted to work with Robert Downey Jr. It would have been amazing, but I don't know if superhero movies are for me. They're not up my alley. I don't like them. I really don't. It's been exhausted. We are inundated. It's not only the movies, it's the endless TV shows as well. It's not to say that I'd never want to play one. It would just have to be something as cool and like a really cool character, and then I'd be interested. So she's out for superheroes, basically.
She's out for superheroes, but she's inundated.
Yeah, inundated.
She's inundated.
Yeah.
She's out superheroes and inundated.
Yeah. So now I'm gonna jump here storyline. So apparently she was like blabbermouth extreme this week.
Oh.
She had a lot to say. So she also went on to talk about Edge of Tomorrow 2. Which
sounds amazing.
Yeah. And she says it's too expensive for Warner Brothers to make. This is her quote. Honestly, I think the movie is probably too expensive. Yeah, I just don't know how we're going to get to it. I think it's hard to align everyone's schedule. I'd love to do it. Doug Liman would love to do it. Tom would love to do it. We'd all love to do it. But I think we figure out what's going on with the industry. Honestly, I think we need to figure out what's the next road map for the kinds of films we want to make. So she's saying it's too expensive to make. And she also kind of hints that she doesn't know what's going to happen with film post-pandemic. So
I don't understand that comment.
I don't know. I mean, I guess because movies aren't making right now, today, movies aren't making what they were making 2 years ago. You know,
okay.
I think they'll get back to it, but, you know, I just feel like she's being kind of a negative Nancy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that's the stupidest comment we've heard all day.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell kind of a thing is that to say?
Right.
And how can you be anti-superhero movies when every movie you make is some, you know, crazy woman running around shooting stuff or chasing or like, you know, like I'm just picturing her. I mean, I'm excited for Quiet Place 2, but the trailer of her like blasting away with a shotgun and like all this kind of stuff, like you can't tell me, like Meryl Streep can tell me that she's above making superhero movies. Emily Blunt, of whom I'm a fan, cannot tell me that she's above making superhero movies.
Right. Right.
Like, please.
Helen Mirren's doing superhero stuff, essentially.
Red.
Yeah, with Red and with Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious. I mean, a good, fun, talented actress, or actor, I should be more general, can do all of the above. And I don't, first of all, I don't believe her when she says that she doesn't like them. Or I guess I could believe her if she said that's not her favorite genre or whatever. But like, I just don't buy it. And then to say that she doesn't know, you know, she has concerns about the whatever, you're obviously not paying attention.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And yeah, of course, movies aren't making what they used to.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if maybe she didn't hear about the pandemic.
She must be off the news.
Yeah, know? And her little hubby is the guy that did that whole like fake like good news story. Remember, he had that YouTube channel, you know, so she definitely knew about the pandemic because her husband was doing fake news about it.
Right. I think it's more of a, I still have a lot of respect for her. I just think it's a matter of like money. I'll be honest. Okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think she's kind of like, well, what do I want to do? I don't know if I really want to do that. But if they came up to her and said, what if we paid you this? Then she'd be like, okay. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Here's the part that bothered me about this quote, and then we can move on.
Okay.
The part that triggered me was when she said, it's been exhausted, we're inundated. It's not only all the movies, it's the endless TV shows as well. Just everybody wants to be my friend. So many people want me to work with them, and everybody wants to be around me. Like, she comes off so arrogant, you know, like, oh, your life is so hard because everybody wants you to be in these superhero movies, which, like, slow your roll.
Yeah.
Like, I never heard her name mentioned with anything until she brought it up.
Right. Well, I don't know if I read it that way. I mean, the way I thought of, she was saying just the genre is overplayed in general. And she wants to be something more cutting edge.
All right. I'll take a deep breath and calm down because you're probably right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, that you could read it that way. She's saying it's been exhausted.
Yeah.
We are inundated. Like, we as a culture are inundated with superheroes. But again, is she trying to throw, you know, Disney Plus? Is that her problem? The endless TV shows? Like, because Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which we'll talk about later, I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah.
WandaVision was amazing. Like, you can't tell me those aren't talented actors, writers, directors. Like, that is quality television. Like, that's good acting.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you have, like, CW just churns out, like, their whole programming is just superheroes these days.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, if you want to get angry about something, here's something to get angry about.
I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah, I'll give you something to cry about. According to Margot Robbie, there's currently no sequel in the works for Birds of Prey. How do you feel about that?
How do you feel about that?
I think that's good news.
I'm trying to put this all together. Birds of Prey is...
it was a movie that its title kept
changing. No. I remember the movie. I remember the poster was awesome. I remember the movie. I remember the way the movie ended. It, like, set it up perfectly for a sequel. Like, I'm not drawing a blank. What I'm trying to remember, and I just now remembered, it's confusing because Birds of Prey has nothing to do with Suicide Squad.
Right.
Or does it? It's a totally different universe, right?
Well, that's the confusing part. It's supposed to be the same Harley Quinn.
That's okay.
Right? But is it with the first Suicide Squad or the new Suicide Squad's not generally connected, but it kind of is? It's hard to say because they wanted to cut things off after Justice League, but they left it hanging. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation. I take this as... I take this with a grain of salt because it's going to be hard not to do a Birds of Prey sequel, especially if the new Suicide Squad is good.
Right. I'm with you on that. Yeah. So here's a news tidbit you have on here I don't know anything about. Hit me.
All right. Friends, Romans, countrymen.
Oh.
Everybody sit down. Stop what you're doing. Pencils. Pencils down. All right. Here's the deal.
Okay.
About a year ago, maybe not quite 8 months ago, 9 months ago.
Okay.
A movie was released on HBO. The movie was called Scoob. Do you remember?
I remember.
We watched the trailer. We talked about the trailer. We were excited about it. It's like an origin story for Scooby-Doo.
I remember all the memes about the thirsty people for the one character.
Right. And it's great. And we were excited about it. And then the pandemic came and Scoob was moved and released on HBO. Mm. Now, what's interesting about this story is that when Scoob was moved to HBO, what none of us knew, because why would we? Warner Brothers, which is the studio behind Scoob, Warner Brothers did not get permission from the team that made the movie to release the movie theatrically. So in other words, they did not have, nobody owned distribution rights. So unbeknownst to us, the movie was released exclusively on HBO. In other words, like for example, Tom and Jerry was released on HBO and out at the theaters.
Right.
But the problem is last year when Scoob was released on HBO, so many theaters, and quite honestly, I don't even remember exactly when this came out, so I don't remember if Penn Cinema was still closed or if we were partially open or what our deal was exactly. But the interesting thing is, out of nowhere, I got an email this morning from my guy at Warner Brothers asking me if I wanted to play Scoob. And I said yes, because we're like dying for fresh family content.
Yeah.
And something rated PG. So I said, yeah, we'll definitely book it. I said, what's the deal with this movie? It feels like it's totally under the radar. is this a re-release? And he said, we have finally gotten theatrical rights to distribute the movie, and we're putting it out there. So this is the first ever reverse theatrical windows situation.
Wow. Wow. I mean, we were so close to release date before. I wonder, like, what were they going to do?
Yeah, I have no idea. It's really interesting. But this weekend, we're playing at all Penn Cinema locations just because we need family content. But it's a really interesting dynamic. It's basically like bringing back a movie for almost like a re-release.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
But here's what I'm thinking, and I wonder if you agree with me. I'll bet you there's a ton of families out there, moms and dads with kids, who are looking for movies to see this weekend and are not tracking that this thing came out on HBO. So in other words, when they're looking, like, let's go to a movie, they look at their local Cineplex and they see Scoob and they're like, oh, great. Yeah, this looks like fun. This is Scooby-Doo. Oh, yeah. Let's go see it. You know?
Totally.
So I think it's a good, booking.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's probably a lot of parents too, who don't think of HBO for children's entertainment either.
Right, right. So, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to move on to trailers?
Please.
Penn, we got David. A ton of good trailers this week.
Yes, we do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Maybe two trailers I would cut, but I think all the rest are pretty solid.
Even the bad trailer still kind of looks interesting. Like, I would still probably watch it.
Okay. All right.
Even though it would freak me out a little bit.
All right. Well, why don't you start us off?
Okay. So let's start at the top with the big news, because kudos to the G.I. Joe franchise for making the Snake Eyes trailer actually get, like, they released this trailer as if it was like news, like the much anticipated, the long awaited, and people are buying into it. People are talking about it. Snake Eyes, the new trailer for the G.I. Joe franchise. I think we've talked about this before. I'm pretty much anti G.I. Joe,
yeah.
Only because, not for any philosophical reason, but just because I think the movie sucked. I think this looks pretty good. This has like potential.
Yeah, I will agree. I think this looked way better than I expected it to.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of like, man, if this wasn't G.I. Joe, like, I would be way more excited for it.
Right.
You know?
Oh, my God. That's funny. That's what people call baggage.
Well, right? I do feel like the trailer had a little bit of an editing problem. We're critics, yeah. So we can talk about this.
Right.
Normally, you know, it says, like, you get the band for the trailer. And then it starts. Well, one of the things they do a lot these days, and they, like, if you go look up the Venom trailer, it does it with this. They show clips of the trailer, and then the band comes up, and the trailer starts.
Right.
And it's usually like, like it ramps you up, yeah. And then shows you the title, and says trailer.
Right.
The beginning of this trailer does that, but there's no cut to a band. It just, like, that's just how it starts, and then the trailer just starts going. And the tone just, I don't know, it was kind of, it put me off a little bit. But other than that, I think that the movie looks good. For sure.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the show?
All right, so second up here, we have Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard Trailer 2. Now, there wasn't a ton new stuff, but there were some new scenes. Specifically, the one that made me laugh a lot was at the end of this trailer, they're all like, oh man, isn't it nice? It's so peaceful. And then they all get like poison darted, sleep darted into the neck. And Ryan Reynolds gets like six before he falls over. Yeah.
And then he falls over into Samuel Jackson's butt.
Yeah. And this trailer, I was visiting the moms this weekend and I showed her this and I was like, yeah, this is a pretty good trailer. And she had never seen the first one. So we were like, well, let's just watch it. So watch the first one this weekend.
There you go. So, that's a good idea. I might do the same. This movie is also going to be released in IMAX. And I got a phone call from my guy at Lionsgate wanting to book this movie last week. And he said, are we good for the hitman's bodyguard's wife. I mean, the bodyguard's wife's hitman. I mean, the whatever. You know, do you know what movie I'm talking about? I said, yeah, we're good. And he goes, God, I hope the audience can figure out the title of this movie.
That's hilarious.
Trailer number three. I feel like we're starting at the top and going, I'm not saying from best to worst, but definitely from best, or I should say, we're definitely going from biggest and then sort of work on our way down, maybe with a couple of exceptions. Uh-huh. But the third movie, I really reacted strongly to it. It's called The Forever Purge, and this is supposedly the conclusion to the Purge franchise.
Thank God.
And, like, I'm trying to... It's hard to watch this trailer and judge this trailer and judge this movie as a movie without having an emotional, physical, I don't even want to say it, but sort of almost a political reaction to it. You know, yeah. it's such a charged, you know, it's the story of the haves versus the have-nots.
Yeah.
You know, it's the incredible discrepancy is not the right word, you know, imbalance in the world between, you know, the rich and the poor, and the what we have going on in our country and around the world, and, you know, the incredible polarization of, you know, everybody. And then this sort of spills out onto the screen, and, like, as a movie, I don't know, I guess it looks entertaining. Like, it's, you know, it's a good, it there's some pretty crazy action in the trailer, and I don't know. Like I said, it's hard to separate my personal sort of reactions to the storyline from whether or not this looks like a good movie.
Yeah. I just rolled my eyes. To me, it's almost like sickening to watch this. And I thought they're like, oh, the Purge just never ends now. And I'm like, where do you go from here? Like, how does the franchise continue? Like, the franchise doesn't make sense after the first one or any of them. Like, where, what? It just, I don't know. It just seems.
Well, maybe this will cheer you up, David.
Yeah.
Does it make more sense to you if I tell you that this is the big 4th of July movie?
I saw that too, and I was like,
does that help you?
Please, come on.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, well, talk to me about The Green Knight.
Okay, The Green Knight. This trailer looks whack. But I'm still kind of interested. However, I'm not really a huge fan of this legend. Are you familiar with this at all?
No.
Okay. It's let me fill you in. Are you okay?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
It's a King Arthur legend.
Ah.
Right? And so...
He who shall be worthy to hold this hammer... Is that the one?
Yeah, shall be Doctor Strange.
Right.
Yeah. So, shall be Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Shall be Cap.
Yeah. So, this is later in Arthur. Like, he's been king for a while.
Hmm.
And the Green Knight shows up, and he says, hey, I challenge any one of your knights to try and best to take me out with one hit. But whatever they do to me... to take me out, if they succeed in 1 year, they have to come to me and I get to do the same thing.
Hmm.
So I forget Galahad or something. I think it's Galahad. It's like, fine, whatever. And he thinks he'll duke the system and he beheads him. And then the guy picks his head up and says, I'll see you in a year.
A year hence.
Yeah. So then a year goes by and they hold themselves to the code and send him to go to the Green Knight to receive the same blow that he gave to him, you know, a beheading. And so it's like, it's a tale of, like, honor and stuff. And then in the legend, it turns out to be a trick, you know, by the sorceress or whatever to test his honor. Mm-hmm. So, but I think it's interesting. I don't know. It looks really whack.
Do you know what it's time for?
What is it time for?
Right now, it's time for a new segment I like to call the Penn Cinema Podcast Players Present.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So the Penn Cinema Podcast Players Present this week on the Penn Cinema Podcast Players Present. This week, we will present a rendition of the Green Knight trailer.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
One year hence.
Okay, and that was the audio from the trailer. So, how did you? What was your interpretation?
Yeah, I couldn't understand a word of it.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I guess I caught 1 year hence. That was like the one thing that I heard, but it sounded like Charlie Brown's mom. Or the other thing that I thought of was like, I was thinking like, this is kind of a cool trailer. I have no idea what they're talking about. therefore it reminded me of like, you know, when you like a song, but you can't catch the lyrics.
Yeah.
So you're like singing along. You have no idea what the lyrics are. So therefore you have no idea what you're singing along to, you know, but it doesn't stop you,
yeah,
you know, from enjoying the song. So I enjoyed this trailer, even though I needed David to explain it to me.
Well, if you want, I can explain this next trailer to you too.
The pack is out of whack.
The pack is out of whack. Hotel Transylvania Transformania.
Now I understand the Transformania better.
Yeah. I think that, look, I only saw the last one. It's the only one that I've seen. And I thought this looks like a lot of fun.
Okay.
For what it is. I mean, it's a kid's movie. But the idea is they have a beam that turns humans into monsters and monsters into humans. And so everyone switches. And the line that you just commented on is the guy goes, it's like Freaky Friday, but on a Tuesday.
That was so good. Yeah.
I really liked how
Tuesday.
Yeah, the invisible man who's been invisible, like he gets turns visible and he's like, oh no, I'm balding. Like, he had no idea.
And naked.
And naked.
I like when the bow boy becomes a human and then he gets bit immediately by the zombie. Yeah.
The nightmare is over.
Ah, oh, crap. And then the tagline for this film is Hotel Transylvania, Transformania. The whole pack is out of whack.
The whole pack is out of whack.
I feel like that could be our tagline.
Yeah, right?
I think you need more than two guys, though, to be a pack.
Well, I mean, it depends.
The pack.
Pack's going to start somehow.
Right. You know? I knew then that my wolf pack of one had just grown. I was looking for strippers and cocaine. All right, Georgetown is a film that you're probably going to see streaming at home. It opens in select theaters this weekend, but I think this looks pretty great.
Yeah.
This is Christoph Waltz. Mm-hmm. He was, I don't know if you knew this about him, he was born a poor man. He was so poor his parents couldn't afford the last two letters of his first name, so they just named him Christoph. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here all week. Try the meal. Tip your waitress. I got him.
I was sorry. I was like, oh, is he? This is a real story.
He walked right into it.
I can't believe that. He got me so bad.
Don't say I never taught you nothing.
Oh God. Okay. All right. Anyway. So are you getting Georgetown?
I am not, but I kind of wish I was. Nobody put it on my radar, and now it's too late. Yeah. And it looks pretty amazing. what would you call it? Like a thriller? Like a almost like a spy movie?
It's a mix between a spy movie and like a murder mystery, whodunit. So the premise is guy kind of like weans his way into a rich lady's life, and then marries her, and then she's murdered. Did he do it? Who knows? He probably did, but he inherits like a ton of money, and her kids are cut off. what I thought was cool is it's a gold digger story, but instead of the kid, the gold digger being a young, like, man, you know, it's still relative, the age difference is there, but Christoph is an older gentleman, so I thought it was more realistically, you know, inclined. And I like the idea.
And I think there's an element where he may or may not be a German spy.
Right. That's the other side of it. Yeah.
All right. The next movie, for as good as Georgetown looks, the next movie is called Stalker. And as good as Georgetown looks, this movie looks equally bad.
I like it. Yeah, it wasn't anything new. What I did like about it is it wasn't some guy like chasing a girl or some girl chasing a guy. Like it was a different aspect of just this guy who was obsessed with another guy.
This is the movie that I was mentioning or that I was thinking of when I said even the bad trailer, like the movie looks pretty interesting. Like I thought this movie looked poorly made relative to, for example, Georgetown or the Sparks Brothers. But I thought Stalker looks kind of like a bad movie, but I kind of feel like it would be like it got me, you know what I mean? Like it'd be entertaining. Like it'd be scary and, you know, kind of fun. And I don't think you would know exactly what's going to happen next. And yeah, I feel like I'd give it a shot.
I would definitely watch it. I mean, honestly, of all the movies we have here, the only one I wouldn't watch was The Purge
movie. Yeah. Same.
For sure. So the next movie we have is a documentary called The Sparks Brothers.
Wait, are you going to watch The Green Knight, but with subtitles?
You might have to.
I should serve seltzer so people can put subtitles on and feel fancy.
Yeah, but what's going to happen is Christopher Nolan's going to come out and be like, that's the artistic way we wanted to go. You're not supposed to understand what they're saying.
Right.
The movie speaks for itself. Yeah. Anyway, the next movie we have on here is The Sparks Brothers, which is a documentary about The Sparks Brothers, which is a band I didn't know was a band.
Me neither.
So, but apparently all music has been based off of them, according to this documentary.
Right.
So they made such a big deal about them to at one point I was like, is this a fake documentary?
Right. Is this a joke?
But apparently it's not. So I don't know. It looks kind of fun. It reminds me the way they use marionettes for like the flashbacks and stuff. It's very similar to a local television show I produced called Young Lancaster. When we did our flashbacks, we did little like puppets and stuff for going back. So did they steal that idea from Young Lancaster? I mean, clearly.
And therefore,
we'll be in touch.
And therefore, could we say that all Sparks Brothers content stems from Young Lancaster?
Yeah, all Sparks, even the stuff made before it, is indicative of Young Lancaster's. That's all I'm saying.
All right, here's my take on this movie.
Okay.
You're kind of spoiling it for me a little bit because I feel like you just are.
I'm spoiling it?
Yeah, because you're like, oh, if they're so great, maybe, you know.
This documentary looks fantastic. I just have no clue who these people are.
I know, and I'm having an emotional, you know, problem here because I feel like, on the one hand, like, I'm inspired and I want to see you. Okay, so first of all, from an artistic point of view, the trailer is amazing.
Yeah.
We'll just agree on that right from the get-go. If you like good trailers, go watch the trailer for the Sparks Brothers. This trailer is amazing. My emotional problem stems from, like, on the one hand, I'm curious, like, oh, these guys must be, you know, amazing. But on the other hand, like, I'm always a little bit resentful when, like, am I going to end up, like, feeling stupid
because you don't know who they are.
Right. Yeah. And if they're so amazing, how come nobody ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a little bit, like a little tiny bit frustrating to me. Like, you can't tell me that these guys influenced the Beatles.
Right.
Which is what the trailer says that John Lennon and Paul McCartney were trying to be like the Sparks Brothers.
Yeah.
No.
I honestly thought you were going to be like, you don't know who the Sparks Brothers are. And you're going to tell me a song. And I was going to be like, I didn't realize that was them.
Right.
But, yeah. I have no clue.
But they don't do that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I am glad that we watched this trailer because I've seen this movie on the calendar for a while. And we are going to play it. And I didn't really know what to do with it. And now I know exactly what to do with it. I'm going to put it in Theater One and play it for a few weeks.
Right. There you go.
And it'll do mediocre business, and the people who see it will love it.
Right. All right, the next movie we have is called Sublet.
Subtle?
Subtle
Sublet on the subway.
Yeah. It's called Sublet. I thought this movie looked fantastic.
Yes.
It's a drama about a man who sublets, Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's doing, writing a story for, was it The Inquirer? The Intrepid?
New York Times. Okay. And the name of the columnist is The Intrepid Traveler.
Right. Yeah.
And then he says something like, which I'm not. And the guy goes, you're not intrepid?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a coming of age, but in the later stage of adulthood, type of thing. An older gay gentleman, and I believe the younger guy is gay as well. But yeah, they kind of relate to things differently.
Right. I feel like this is the kind of movie that we've seen before, but we're excited to see it again because it looks like it was beautifully made and the acting looks amazing. Yes. And it just looks like a great, like, we've seen this movie before. I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah, the acting looks superb. The writing in the trailer also superb. I think that this is going to be a great movie. I'm really looking forward to it.
David.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Notting Hill?
I feel like I might have seen that movie.
Have we talked about that movie on the show? Did we watch it recently?
It's Hugh Grant. No, there's no way we watched Notting Hill recently.
I did. I didn't know if we watched it for the show. Like within the pandemic, I watched Notting Hill 100%. And that's the scene with Julia Roberts where she's just a girl standing in front of a boy, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now there's a movie coming out, and it's actually – I left it on our trailer list because I want to talk about it. But the movie's actually already in theaters.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the movie's called Finding You.
Okay.
And if you take Notting Hill and play it out in the hills of Ireland, this is what you have.
Right.
Right.
Isn't
except
the hills of New Zealand? Could I
– Was it New Zealand?
I thought it was New Zealand.
Oh, maybe.
But I could be wrong.
I think you're wrong. I think it's Ireland. But the genders are reversed because in this movie, the movie star is the boy, and then the girl is just a quote unquote lowly violin player. And next thing you know, they're in a bar and presume that romance ensues.
Right. Right. And well, it's one of those things where he's, super famous and she's like, come down to my level. It's basically the Penn Cinema podcast story.
Right.
People were like, don't get involved with that big shot pen. He's a big shot movie guy. You're not going to be able to handle it. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
We can be the podcast partners to get it done. Just if I could just get him to see me for who I really am.
Just a boy standing in front of a boy.
Yeah, with two microphones in between them.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a true story right there.
Yeah, that happened. We need to record a show about the history of the Penn Cinema podcast, except it will all be false.
Oh, perfect. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the three-year anniversary is when we're doing that.
Perfect. Mark your calendars now, boys and girls. Yeah. Tickets go on sale next week.
All right. So we saw a movie this week. Let's get to our movie review. All right, we saw a movie called Here Today, starring Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish. Penn, what did you think of this movie?
I cried.
I did too.
I thought it was great. I enjoyed the movie. It wasn't the best made movie. It wasn't like, some of Billy Crystal's crying scenes were a little much to take, but it was so good and so moving and so, like, at times hilarious, but then obviously also very touching. I mean, life is short. That's kind of all there is to it, because you have the guy, the main character, Billy Crystal, who's dealing with, increasing levels of dementia, but then you're also dealing with, like, the wife died. And then, the son and the daughter are in the movie, so you're dealing with mom died. And I just thought, you know, it was an incredibly, without being the best movie of all time, it was an incredibly touching story.
I agree. I thought it was very, very touching. I thought Billy Crystal was amazing. Mm. I mean, I guess we haven't really seen him in much recently, but it just reminded me of how good of an actor he is. And yeah. I could be wrong, but this felt like he might have had something to do with the writing on this one. Because it felt like a Billy Crystal movie, and in some ways, almost like
City Slickers?
Yeah, I mean, well, just like City Slickers. It felt like
Harry Met Sally.
Well, here's where I'm getting at. The writing style felt old. He was on point because that's the way he acts. Like he does the real fast talking and the quips, and I felt like at the beginning that's what he was doing, and he was doing it fantastic. But that doesn't fit Tiffany Haddish's acting style, and so she seemed off. Now, as the movie went on, like it evened out, and it was actually they're both great, and it has nothing to do with her 100% with the writing. But like, what would have passed in an older Billy Crystal film, like he meets girl, and then girl stumbles outside of his house, like that would have been something that would have happened in an older style film. But nowadays, it just doesn't like fit modern narrative. You know, it was kind of like, what in the, she's just outside. Like you don't see the person knock her over, but he was apparently coming out of the same building. And it just, you know, it was kind of a meet cute that didn't make sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Billy Crystal did write this.
Okay.
Co-written with the guy who wrote, the movie is based on a short story called The Prize, which was written by Alan Zweibel. So Mr. Zweibel and Mr. Crystal are the two writers credited for this. But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like the little pieces like that to me took away a little bit of the seriousness, but they kind of made up for it because the whole rest of the movie was so powerful.
Was there a moment in this movie that hit you hard, like that you could say?
No. I mean, there was, but I'm drawing a blank.
For me, it was when he was talking about the first time he realized he was having more than senior moments. He has dementia, and it's the beginning. And he says he was at dinner with someone, and he couldn't remember who the person was, and he just humored them and laughed along, and he could not remember why he was with this person and who they were, and he was freaking out on the inside. And she asks him who it was, and he's like, it was my son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just was like,
so. Yeah. That was a powerful moment. Powerful is the wrong word. Another great scene, probably the definitive scene where Billy Crystal just showed why he's one of the best was when he sort of interrupts the live broadcast with the talk show host and the guy who can't pronounce he mispronounces everything. And that whole scene. And then at the end, when all like the crowd is going crazy because they loved it and they thought he was doing like a comedy routine, but all the people who love him and know that what he's struggling with, they're all like, you know, freaking out. Yeah. And then the scene where they're all huddled together afterwards, it was like, that was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And, but my point is that scene featured some incredible acting.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that was unreal.
For sure. I would highly recommend seeing this movie if you're in for like an emotional film.
Right.
The weird thing about it is as heavy as this movie is,
right,
the laughs really hit solid.
Right.
Like I laugh out many laugh out loud moments, not just like, it was kind of amusing, like legitimately funny.
Right. And not like the heavy parts.
Yeah.
I don't even know how they pulled this off, but the heavy parts weren't stressful. It was almost like you could say the heavy parts were beautiful.
Right. Right.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to gut you till you cry and, you know, you're so sad and depressed and, you know, everything like that. It's just more like, hey, man, life is short. You know, we're lucky to have who we have and, you know, we're lucky to experience what we do get and blah, blah, blah. And just really, I mean, that's what I took away from it was just how freaking short it all is.
I was glad that it didn't take it to final conclusion. I felt that it ended on a really, on a really good spot.
Yeah, you didn't want to see him like 5 years from now. You know,
fully looking, lost.
Right, yeah. Right. And what was the deal with the kid who was the writer from the show who sort of looked up to him? Do you know, remember the character I'm talking about? The closing scene, he was still sort of on the family was by the lake and the kid was sort of in the doorway of the cabin looking out.
Which was really weird, but
I thought that was weird. I felt like that guy could have been maybe embraced, but maybe they were trying to show that he was keeping his distance or whatever.
Without you forgetting, I think if they wouldn't have shown him, people would have been like, well, what happened to him? Because he was inside with them.
Yeah.
The whole thing with him was that he spent all this time trying to emulate him. And that's why he was, in the end, he's writing his book for him.
Right.
Ghostwriting. So.
Yeah. That's what you're going to have to do for me when my time comes.
Ghost podcast for you?
Yeah. Anyway, full thumbs up to Here Today. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Yeah. So moving on to listeners' notes, questions, answers, comments, and movie reviews and suggestions.
Wow. This was a big week.
It was huge. Huge.
Damn.
First off, we heard from a fan favorite. One of our favorites. Top 10
One
Sarah.
Of our favorites.
Yeah. Top 10 Sarah came back. We thought, where is she? What's going on? And then the hand came out of the grave. And she pulled herself out. She said, nah, I ain't not dead rough. Yet, fool.
I'm not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet. She straight up, like, Kill Bill'd it. Came out of the grave, dug herself out. She's like, I'm back. Top 10 Sarah is here.
Yeah.
And she's like, not only that, I got a recommendation for you. She said, if you want to know if a movie has a stinger, you got to download this app called Run Pee. And not only does it tell you if a movie has a stinger and if you should hang out, and this is a comment for the Goodman, Don Goodman, who was commented on Facebook saying he wish he knew when there were stingers and he's going to just ask the staff from now on.
Yeah, we had some good Facebook comments this week too. Yeah, so that's always fun. If you don't want to send us an email, drop us a note on Facebook. That's a good time.
Mm-hmm. So she says, not only that, Run P will actually tell you when the best time is to get up and go to the bathroom during a movie. And not only that, it tells you what happens during your pee break so that you don't have to be like, hey, what happened to your you know, your best mate when you come down.
So I knew about that app.
Yeah.
And I think people are pretty familiar with it, but I did not know that it could tell you like I've never really played around with it. Like I didn't know that it would tell you about stingers and stuff like that. So that's helpful insight.
Yeah. I mean, I've never played around with it either because I can hold my bladder, you know.
Yeah, I cannot. what I like to do because usually, well, not usually, always I'm watching a movie in private, is whoever I'm watching the movie with, I like to tell them, I gotta go to the bathroom, I'm leaving you in charge. don't screw this up. But I also, David, I'm curious because you watch a couple movies.
Yeah,
you're a moviegoer.
I've definitely seen a movie.
Yeah, you're qualified.
Yeah.
You think, because I do for myself, do you think that you're good at like sensing when the movie is like coming into a little lull and you can, oh, but you said you can hold your bladder. You don't go to the bathroom.
I generally don't. But I feel like I do know when I see someone get up and I'm like, fool.
Yeah.
You fool.
Yeah.
Now is not,
oh, snap.
Now is not the time. And it's always like, Chris Hall Productions will always get up when it's starting to slow down. I'm like, nah, bro, you get up during the little bit of the beginning of the action, if anything, because it's starting to slow down. All the exposition's about to happen. You're going to miss the story.
Interesting.
So
I refilled my coffee in the middle of Here Today, but I ran.
Oh,
like I got up and watched the screen till I got to the corner, you know, architects call it the vomitorium is the architecturally correct term for the entranceway to the auditorium. And I stood there and watched it. And then when I thought I had a second, I got my coffee, came right back.
I'm waiting for the day when you admit, you're like, this movie was so good. I texted one of my minions to bring me a fresh pot, a coffee.
You know what I have done? Oh God, I can't believe I'm about to admit this. not that, you weirdo. I would never do that. What I have done is when it's a movie that I'm really excited about and I don't want to miss a second, I've walked into the movie theater with two cups of coffee so that I don't have to worry about getting my second cup.
Never miss a beat.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Top 10 Sarah said she said, you know, you're always on the point with what's going on with people and how to promote the show. But right. She said she didn't know. She's on the cutting edge.
Yeah, she had even better ideas.
Yeah, she said she was there like spaying or neutering some animal at work, talking about the podcast, and she noticed that.
I wish you hadn't said at work.
Yeah, yeah. She's just spaying or neutering animals.
So there I was spaying a couple kittens.
Yeah, no big deal. She's talking with Yvette, and she's like, they're talking about how great the podcast is, you know. Hey,
wait, who was the cats?
No, Sarah, Top 10 Sarah and the vet. She's a vet assistant.
Was she talking to the vet or talking to the dogs?
She's talking to the dogs. Right. She's like, you know what's even better than losing the ability to reproduce? The Pensino podcast. Right. It's also popular. Anyway,
get to the point, David.
Baby monitors. She hacked the baby monitors. So now what she says she does,
yeah.
And she said a lot of people are doing it. You hack the baby monitor and you drive around town and your baby monitor only sends out to anyone that's nearby. And you just go, listen to the Pensino podcast, you know, and then parents are like, what? Huh? Did the baby just say something? You know, just real quiet. Yeah, the Pensino podcast.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, it's real happening. Real popular, yeah. Especially in Sarah's area.
Right.
So
right. Yeah. Which I have to assume is where all the cool kids are anyway.
Yeah, obviously.
For sure. We also heard from Frodo, who this was my I just love this email.
Yeah.
So let me tell you a little bit something about our friend. Our friend writes long emails.
And we love them.
And we love that. And I read the entire thing. But what I love most about it is, just in case you're not in the mood to read the whole thing, she will provide, at the beginning of the email, a synopsis.
TLDR.
Of the said email. So in other words, what I have totally done is like read the synopsis and thought to myself, oh, this is good. I got to come back to this when I have a minute, you know, and I can really, you know, have a fresh cup of coffee and enjoy this.
Which is so totally what I did.
Right. So this week she writes us in, and I could not have been happier to read this because I feel like, what did we say last week? We all know your position on Venom.
Right.
But didn't I sort of say, like, I wanted to hold out some hope for it?
Yeah, but you also said it didn't look very good.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm alone with you on this, you know? Like, I'm adrift. Yeah. I'm alone, adrift at sea, and Frodo came in, and she was like, listen, here's the deal.
Yeah.
This is an okay movie. The first Venom was okay. She wasn't saying it was great, and she loved it, and it was the best ever, but I thought it was really interesting because what she pointed out is that Eddie has real emotions, and it matches the more current comics, which I would have never known. So in other words, depending on where you're coming from, you know, with this franchise, you could look at it and say, hey, this is really consistent with, you know, the story.
Yeah. And she kind of harked on how I was saying, you know, he's Venom, but without Spider-Man, like, he's not the parallel that he should be. And I agree. It is very more closer to current comics, but I also feel like they jumped the shark to getting a character to a place where the character hasn't earned it yet. Like, to me, Venom does not have to be just a stupid Spider-Man villain, but that beginning thing of where he gets his abilities and like his character and the juxtaposition with him and Spider-Man, and then the redemption arc of him becoming this anti-hero and this much more real character, I think that without that, it takes a lot away from what Venom is. But I do agree with what she says. The character of Eddie is very real, much more real than we see in some other villains or anti-heroes. And there are a lot of things that work for this. I just hate that it's Venom. And it just doesn't feel like Venom. It could be something else. And if it was just like a goo monster on a guy and they didn't call it Venom, I probably would have been all about it. But the fact that they're like, oh, this is Venom, the Spider-Man anti-hero, it just kind of, anyway. Thank you for your letter, Frodo. I read the whole thing. I had a lot more to say. I'm holding back because we're running a little bit long. But just
don't hold back, David.
Come on. I could go on about the comics because she wrote all about how, like, you know, it compares to the new comics and stuff. And look, I'm a massive nerd and I like my comic books. So deal with it. And, maybe I'll email you back. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. It's just, all nerds want their opinion to be heard twice. And so, I feel like I have a rebuttal. So anyway.
Oh my God. That's so good. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, David.
Yeah.
What are you doing with your time? What are you watching and reading?
Well, I told you I watched Hitman's Bodyguard.
Wife's.
What? Hitman's wife's nephew's bar mitzvah, right. Bodyguard. And I want to correct myself. Last week I said I was watching Jupiter Ascending, the show.
No.
And I listened to other podcasts and they were like, yeah, I've been watching Jupiter Ascending. And then they caught themselves. Nah, dog. That's a movie made by the Wachowski brothers. Jupiter's Legacy is the show on Netflix. And last week I was kind of on the fence with this. But let me tell you this. I got to the penultimate episode where they were explaining how they all got their superpowers. And I got a little bit tired. This was the beginning of the week. I said, I'll turn this off. I don't want to fall asleep. I'll come back tomorrow. Penn, I never went back. And I may never go back because I just don't care. So, not a very good show.
Okay.
So that's about it for me. What have you been doing? You got a lot here, man.
I had a good week.
Yeah.
I had a good week of content. As you can see from my note, I finished Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
How do you feel about that?
Because I switched it from Falcon and the Winter Soldier to Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
I almost did that when I was done, but I was like, I don't want to spoil anything for the Penster.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but I saw that coming. I think I was unofficially I got a spoiler by accident, just sort of from, I think everybody sort of was talking about it. I loved it. I thought it was absolutely amazing. It reminded me why I love Marvel. I just think Marvel is getting better and better and better.
How did you feel of his, like, the last episode when he is Captain America? I just thought that was so cool.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
What I want more than anything, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get it, is an Anthony Mackie Captain America movie.
Which I think we talked about is coming quite possibly. They better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Winter Soldier better co-star in it because the two of them are a great pair.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean that was so cool, and the writing on this was amazing. I loved everything about it. That's all.
Yeah. Wow, the suit's so good. Anyway.
So I also watched Angelina Jolie in Those Who Wish Me Dead.
I'm sorry.
And you know how I watched it?
How's that?
Well, I was playing movies in Ephrata for the public.
Okay.
Open to the public. Yep. Anybody who wanted. Anybody who had a couple bucks in their pocket was welcome to come on down. 124 East Main Street. The doors were open. The lights were on. The popcorn was popped. By the way, we got our popper fixed. So popping popcorn like crazy down there. I was all done up in my best New Main shirt. Wow. Had my little New Main visor on.
Wow.
Right.
Your hair sold was a couple braided.
My hair was braided, obviously. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
Sold a couple tickets to Tom and Jerry. Shut that door. And then braced myself for the crowds that were coming in for Those Who Wish Me Dead.
Right.
Right. I got the nachos ready. I got the sodas cooling. I'm ready. Because this is what I do. I'm a professional, David.
Right.
I'm a professional.
Not just a professional podcaster. You also work at the theaters.
Yeah, I'm a theater operator. I know what I'm doing. I'm ready. So nobody came.
Whoa.
Talking zero. So what I do is I sweep the floors and mop the theaters, but I don't do that every I definitely sweep them every single show, but I don't necessarily mop them every single show unless there's been like a spill. I'm just talking about Ephrata. So what I did was, because there was a Tom and Jerry show playing, so I kind of was on site, you know, yeah. I was committed. So I did the deepest cleaning of that auditorium, like, forever. I went through and carefully, like, cleaned and wiped and sanitized every square inch of every seat. And then I did, like, a double, triple, quadruple sweeping. And then I did mopping with, like, dump the water out, you know, every few rows. And, like, and the whole time I was doing this, I had the movie running. So that's how I watched Those Who Wish Me Dead, and the movie still sucked.
I'm shocked.
I know. Shocked. All right, listen, I also have been watching New Girl.
Not
The New Girl. And thanks to the urging of our friends, I've been watching Invincible.
Oh, tell me what you think about that.
Well, I was shocked because I wasn't ready for the bad language.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit rough, huh? I wish somebody would have warned us.
I wish somebody would have given me the heads up. No, that was the hook. That's what got me. No, I love it. It's great. I mean, I'm only through a couple episodes, but I'm really enjoying it. And the other thing I want to say just real quick before we tune out here is if you're on Facebook, make sure you're following Will Smith. Because he is on fire lately, and he's posting his own stuff. He's not like, you know how a lot of actors have, like, people who, like, every now and then post stuff for them and, like, whatever. Like, he is posting, like, real, honest-to-God, unfiltered, like, funny, funny stuff. Nice. Have you been following any of this?
No.
Oh, it's really good. I first noticed it. It started, I think, like, a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago, where he posted a picture of himself just in shorts, and he's rocking like the real, like, the dad bod. You know what I mean? Yeah. Looking a little flabby, and he's like, oh, I gotta tell y'all, I'm like in the worst shape of my life. And then he, like, started making fun of himself, and somebody turned it into a gif. And then, like, they're showing him spinning DJ records in the living room. I don't know, it's just fun. I'm just saying, if you're not following Will Smith, you should be following Will Smith, because the dude is putting out some funny stuff.
Nice. Very good, very good. All right, so what are we going to watch this week?
I mean, we got two movies coming out. One is Dream Horse, which I remember we watched the trailer like a year ago.
Yeah.
And the other is Scoob.
Man, lots of pickings.
You need a minute?
Do you know which one I lean to?
Those Who Wish Me Dead?
No, I mean, I have to choose between these two.
Venom.
Yeah, let's rewatch Venom instead of these two. If you had to choose between these two, which one would you watch?
Dream Horse, I probably would.
Really?
Yeah. You want to split them up? You watch Scoob, and I'll watch Dream Horse.
Yeah, because I'd rather watch Scoob.
I thought Dream Horse looked cute.
It probably is, but I just feel like I'm already bored.
All right.
I haven't even started it.
That's the best movie review of all time. Now coming this week to Penn Cinema, Dream Horse. I'm already bored. Oh my God, you're so bad.
All right, look, people, if you want to be a part of the show, like our great friends, Top 10 Sarah Back from the Dead, and Frodo, the great and wonderful writer,
and Gibble,
and the mystery gobble who just decided to call us in the middle of the show.
Right.
Right. So if you want to do that, the best way to do that is, of course, is to send us an email, podcast@pensima.com. You can comment on our Facebook page. Of course, we'll see that there, the Penn Cinema Podcast on Facebook. If you want to support the show, of course, Penn, what's the number one way to do that?
Well, I mean, the one way that you could do it is just to tell a friend how much you enjoy, you know. But if you have a second, can I just tell you there's this thing going on?
Oh, please.
It's happening.
It's
happening all over the place. And it has to do with the election on Tuesday. Okay. Are you aware of this? There's a big election, and everybody should be out voting, right? We should be participating in our American democracy. And what a lot of people are talking about is – they're writing in Penn Cinema podcast for various elected offices.
That, I mean, that sounds amazing.
And then what's going to happen is that's going to start the ball rolling, and then surely the press will have to pick up on this story. Like, Penn Cinema podcast elected to local dog catcher office. You know.
A picture of just two guys looking at each other with two microphones between them.
Right. But, I mean, I don't want to be a dog catcher. You don't want to be a dog catcher. But the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be a judge of elections. You know, you want a good judge of elections. You vote for the Penn Cinema podcast. You bet, man.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's the way to do it. I love it.
So that's what's happening. You know, that's the latest.
Yeah. They say vote, make your voice heard. And this is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Make our voice heard.
Because of all the podcasts out there,
we're one of them. Oh, I love that tagline.
It's a mess.
All right. Look, once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Walton.
And I'm Ted Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care. And
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.